This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And maybe you're listening for the first time and wondering, who is Blazing Grace? We are an organization, a nonprofit Christian organization that helps men and women with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, anything in the sexual arena. We typically work with a lot of husbands and wives because often what happens is a man will wait till he's well into his marriage, 10, 20, 30, 40, even 50 years into his marriage. He doesn't tell his wife or anybody about his porn addiction or his sexual sin, and then one day she walks in on him, which we do hear those stories. We hear stories of wives who walk in on their husband while they're masturbating to porn. Their marriage blows up, and then we get a phone call. And this is at every single level and age group of the church from ages 10 to 80, meaning that youth are getting exposed to pornography at a younger and younger age. Kids are getting smartphones as early as age 3 today. And a lot of parents are just clueless when it comes to this because you cannot give a 3-year-old a smartphone or an iPad. You know who comes to mind? Steve Jobs, the guy who had a big part in inventing those things. He wouldn't let his own kids have those because he knew how it would affect them chemically and mentally. We should be taking some cues there that this is not a good thing that for a 4, 5, 6-year-old to be having a smartphone alone. So we get emails from parents wanting help with their teens. We get emails for help from single men, sometimes single women, a lot of times, most of the time from couples, as I mentioned. We offer a 2-day intensive in my office here in Chandler, Arizona, and we also have another office in Arkansas where Tim Peterson, our men's ministry counselor is. We do counseling over the phone, mainly today actually by Zoom. People aren't using the phone as much as they used to. And then you go on our website, blazinggrace.org, and there's a ton of articles, a ton of resources there. We just came out with our 6-part video course. It's $19.95, so not a big investment, where I share my story and then get into what the recovery process looks for men and wives. So check it out. Go to blazinggrace.org. And for those of you who are longtime listeners, we could use financial support these days. We have a lot of ministry opportunities in front of us, and funds are pretty tight these days. So you can go to the donate page and donate by PayPal or check or however you'd like to. So I'm going to continue my conversation from last week with Rebecca Janung. She is my 23-year-old daughter. She also works for the ministry. And I like to bring youth on as much as I can, as much as I can get someone, because youth often doesn't have a voice. And when 75% of youth have been leaving the church, as has been done the last 20 years, we need to give youth a voice. We need youth plugged in and engaged. And this is a big mistake to miss out on this. So, Rebecca, thank you for joining us.
Good to be back.
So you and I went to a church back in Colorado Springs, and they let us have a table there with my books and materials on the ministry to offer help. And I remember that we got there early, I think 7:30 in the morning, to set up. And the very first guy that walked into church that morning looked at the table and shot us a dirty look. What do you think was going on there?
Could be a few things. I was probably like, I looked like a child, and he was probably like, why is a child at a porn booth table? Or he was like, what the heck? I've never seen anything like that before at church. Or, oh, shoot, I'm struggling with that. So it could be a few different things. That's just what, those are my opinions.
And sometimes when we get provoked or convicted because we're in sin, that can cause different responses. And sometimes that can be, I don't want to hear this. That's anger. Or
yeah.
I've also heard people say over the years that even recently this year, that sex isn't an appropriate topic for a church.
Yeah, one of our trade shows, a lady came up to me. I forgot you weren't there at the moment, but she looked at me and she was like, you shouldn't be with this type of stuff. You shouldn't. You're too young for this. And I was like, I'm in my 20s. No, I don't think so. And she's like, well, we just don't need to talk about this. It's too inappropriate. And I was like, I don't think so. It needs to be talked more. And I said, you know, kids need to hear the sex talk at around age 8. And she just kind of was like, oh, I don't think so. And then she just walked off. She's like, that was strange, but yeah. So we don't talk about it.
Well, and what we see is a lot of men who come to us for help, they got their first exposure to porn around that age of 8, 9, 10, sometimes even much younger. So this is kind of like playing ostrich, is it not?
Right. Agreed. And heard of stories of guys who were like 6 finding it on their from their friend who's also 6. Because technology these days is everywhere. Everywhere you go out to eat, like at restaurants, you see families with young ones and they're on a tablet or they're on their phone. And the parents are also on their phone, and it's so sad to see, because you're just basically like, nah, I don't want to interact with you. Just have a tablet. It's easy. It keeps you quiet. Mm. And then they freak out when they're throwing a tantrum because you took it away. So it's sad to see, but yeah.
So at some level, mom and dad are checked out?
I think so. It's easy to give a kid an iPad. It's got games, entertainment, you can pretend that they're learning something. So this is the easy way out instead of actually engaging with them. And it's also not good for their brain chemistry, especially that young. They need to be interacting with you. Not saying that they throw a tablet at them all day, but, you know, when you're out to eat, why not hang out with each other and talk to each other? That's missing, and it's sad.
Mm. Well, growing up, you and your siblings would come home and say, Dad, you're in fifth grade. My friends and my buddies got phones. And I'd be like, I don't care. Your friends and buddies are dumb. You're not getting a phone for a while. And how do you see that now in retrospect?
I think that was a blessing. It's, you don't need a tablet. I know it looks fun, but it's, and you also were, I liked how you did it, because you also said, if you want it, you're going to get it. You're going to go pay for it. That sucked growing up, but I think it's a good lesson from a young age. Like, if you want something, go work for it, save up money, and it teaches them at a young age, and you're not always going to get what you want.
I think that's a key phrase right there that I think a lot of people need to hear. You're not always going to get what you want.
Yeah.
But you'll get what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And the two are not the same.
No. No.
And really what my goal is when you guys grew up, I wanted you all to be hungry when you left. I wanted you to be hungry to go get a job, hungry to work, hungry to pay for your own stuff. So I didn't give my kids cars. I made them pay. If they wanted a smartphone, they had to pay for it. If they wanted an iPad at a certain age, when those things were appropriate, they had to pay for it.
Right. And again, it sucked growing up as a kid because you see all your friends getting it. But looking back, the things that they were just handed, I'm like, you're spoiled. I don't know. There's a balance between helping out your kid and just giving them everything. Mm-hmm. Because then you're not teaching them valuable lessons in life. Like, you're not going to get what you want all the time. And then also you have to work for what you want. And needs and wants are also very different, yes.
Last week we talked about what has happened to the work ethic of youth, and we talked about inflation and how hard that is. But I do think you're on to something with what you're saying here, is that when mom and dads just shower their kids with stuff, they're not teaching them, they're not teaching them hunger. And that there's a cost to things, and they have to go out and work for it and earn it.
Right. And it is hard these days, but it's possible. You just have to put in the work. As hard as it is, but hard work pays off eventually. But if you're just shown that you can just stick your hand out to certain people and they'll give what you want, you're just going to expect everything to be given to you then.
And that's going to affect your character down the line, because when you go to an employer and they say, I want you here at 8 a.m. and you're not leaving until whatever, 4 or 5, and you're not used to hearing, you know, hard lines like that. And this is what we see a lot in youth today. Like, some just don't want to show up, mm-hmm. or they want to show up when they're, you know, on their schedule.
Mm-hmm. And then they throw their tantrum.
So at another time, we were in a trade show in England, and I remember I was talking to somebody. I looked over, and a woman walked up to you, and she saw The Wife's Heart, my book, The Wife's Heart, on the table, and you told me later, she shared about her marriage ending in divorce, and she was crying. Talk to us about what happened there.
She came up. I remember she was very shy, and she just kind of looked like, I wish I had this when I was with him, in a way. And then she just started crying. She's like, it was too late, and we ended up in divorce. And then I felt bad for her because, you know, it was a little too late or something. So I offered her the book. I was like, if you need more healing from it. But she just kind of walked away and was just crying. It was very heartbreaking to see.
Yeah, and part of that, the heartbreak, is that I know that if they had gotten help, maybe things could have gone differently. There's no guarantee the husband would have wanted to get help. Mm-hmm. But if we were more open about this from the pulpit, and we heard in Great Britain all the time that in British culture, talking about sex is not proper at the pulpit. But I don't know how it's going to line up with Scripture when there are some very confrontative verses, especially in Revelation 2 and 3, about Jesus ripping on churches for not dealing with sexual issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love England. I love British people, but they are a little prim and proper. They're funny. But yeah, there was a big issue seeing that they just, everything that we had up, it was like, whoa, we don't do that here. We have a big porn. Are you struggling with porn sign? Bright red. And they would shy away from that because it's not with their culture. And we have to ease into everything. We can't just throw out our problems, but we have to ease into it. And I don't think a good way to do church. Not saying that you have to blast your problems everywhere, but if they're having this big issue, you're not dealing with it.
Well, we did hear quite often, every single show, we've been going there for 6 years now, that we desperately need this. There are no ministries like yours in England. Please keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. And then when we do come back, no one the conferences, and then few would show up because they're still scared to even get help, but there is little to no resources that we were seeing from people. So we would get a mix of, like, this isn't, you're not doing this right because this is just too much. It's the American way. And then there was also that, we need this. We don't have this. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I remember at another trade show in California when you were younger, you were with me, and a young man, looked like he was a teen, walked up. I was talking to somebody else, but I noticed it. He had his head down in shame, and he started mumbling to you about his porn problem, right?
Yeah, and at first I couldn't hear him, and I didn't really know how to help people back then or, like, what to give them. So it was, first it was awkward because he was just kind of talking really soft, and he needed to repeat himself because I couldn't hear him. And then, but it was bold of him to come up in the first place. And then I was like, Dad, he needs help. But it was, again, sad to see, but it was brave on his end for even coming up, because we do see a lot of people, you kind of, for doing this for so many years, you can tell people are shocked by what they see or more convicted by what they see. Mm. So some just, like, run straight across, or they dodge the tables, or so it was brave of him to even come up.
Well, you were only 15 or 16 at that time, too, so that,
yeah.
That was new on you, too.
Yeah, new on both of our ends.
But that's part of, you know, when you're in a ministry, you just never know who God's going to bring your way. So at the very least, you were a safe person for him to talk to.
Yeah.
And part of the conviction is talking to a female when you know you've been looking at those pictures of females. And then what does God say about our relationships with the opposite sex? Brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, except for our spouse. So I think the thing is to say that you're a blessing to them, being a safe person. And you being there was also an act of a reflection of purity, too.
Mm.
So,
yeah. And I think it's also rare to see, like, a father-daughter thing, especially with this. It's... people always are like, oh, is this your husband? I'm like, no, that's my dad. And they're like, oh, that's great, because, you know, it's not common to see something like this.
So I'm going to riff on a couple news articles here. This is all recent in the past week. First one is a Siler City pastor charged with child sex crimes, accused of possessing pornography. This is the Winston-Salem News. Nelson Che, 57 years old, is charged with 10 counts of second-degree sexual exploitation of a minor. In April, the department received an online tip. He was a pastor, they mentioned his church, and he is accused of using the messaging app Kick to watch and distribute child porn. Then another one, a former minister sentenced to probation for child pornography. This was in Salem, Illinois. A 41-year-old former worship minister at the Calumet Street Christian Church in Centralia has been sentenced to 4 years probation on 5 felony counts of child porn. As a part of the plea, Ian Moffitt was ordered to have no unsupervised contact with anyone under 18 and to have no devices that connect to the internet. This is Southern Illinois. So every day in America, a pastor or church leader or youth leader or worship pastor is arrested or exposed for some form of sexual sin or pornography. What is your take on this?
Something's very wrong, because they're, honestly, I have no clue how they, every single day, that's devastating to hear in church. And these are leaders and leading a church. So something is very wrong there. But it's just crazy to see how much sin is in the church. Obviously, there's going to be sinful people, but that prevalent and, like, to that degree, there's something very wrong.
Well, I think a part of it is just the intense spiritual battle set against every single leader and pastor, right?
Yeah, and pastors being worn out, doing so many sermons every single week.
I think part of it is sometimes we're quick to point the finger and say, okay, you did this, you deserve it, but we have an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think part of it is spiritual warfare is not talked about or recognized in many churches, and on top of the sexual issues.
And I think some people don't even think that it's real, spiritual warfare. So if you don't even know what it is or don't even believe in it, that's easy for the enemy to just take everything, basically. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful with that.
Especially if you allow yourself to be burnt out or run into the ground and then you have no energy left and you don't know anything about warfare and you're just easy pickings.
Right, or rest. Yeah.
You and I were in Austria, in Vienna. Was it last year or the year before? I don't remember. But we went to an Airbnb, and after stepping into the place, just minutes after, I felt the sense that it was spiritually off. I remember pulling back the curtains of a bookshelf in that Airbnb, and there was a row of occult books, Harry Potter books, but also others. Mm-hmm. Remember what happened?
It was a fun night. We both could not sleep. It was like I would try to go to bed and it just, you could feel it. It just felt dark and I could not sleep. Maybe I got half an hour, maybe, but it was there. You could just feel it and it was scary. But I was glad that unfortunately it wasn't just me that went there, because you also did, but yeah, that was real. And you couldn't deny it. So we got out of there.
So really it was a demonic presence.
Yes. Yeah. And it was just dark. Even not doing anything, just having those things in the house, it gives it ground.
Yep.
So
that's right. Those books and whatever other objects they have in there give the enemy ground to be in there, and then being a Christian, you know, we're going to sense that, be more discerning to that than an unbeliever would.
Mm-hmm.
So the spiritual battle is very real against every Christian who wants to make a difference in this world. Every pastor, prayer is critical. Would you agree?
Yes. And I remember, I think you led a pastor's conference, and one, I think you asked, but the pastor said, like, they don't teach us in their Bible course or their pastor course, whatever it's called.
Bible college?
Yeah, that they don't teach them how to pray. It's like, what do you mean teach how to pray? You just pray. So that in itself is another problem area.
Mm. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. But, yeah, I saw one survey that said 70% of pastors pray 5 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. When you're at war, that's not going to cut it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because then you're not protected. You have to take up the armor every day, and if you can't do that in 5 minutes. So unequipped pastors are going to, unfortunately, not equip their flock, which is what we're seeing these days. So
when you were in Vienna and felt that demonic presence all night, were you spending time in prayer?
Oh yeah. For sure. Yes. Yeah. At first I thought it was just me, but then hearing that you also went through it was like, no, that was real. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we definitely did a lot of praying.
Yeah, and that's part of what the enemy tries to do, is convince you, hey, this is just you, it's all in your head, and those are his lies, because he wants to keep people silent about spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So, 20 seconds. How do you want to close this show?
Be aware of, I guess, spiritual warfare. Be in prayer. Find a good church that has good Bible beliefs that believe in the Bible and not off their own knowledge, I guess you could say.
Meaning people's, how man wants to live his life.
Really. Yes.
All right, thank you, Becca, and thank you, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.